This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm pleased to be joined with you today to give an update on the COVID-19 actions that have gone on in Erie County, as well as update on individuals who may have contracted the illness. I'm joined, of course, by our Deputy County Executive, Maria White, who's been working very hard as co-chair of a task force with regards to child care for first responders, individuals associated with the public health response, and others. This is not a child care for every individual in the community, and Deputy County Executive White will also discuss those issues. And we're also joined by our Health Commissioner, Dr. Gail Burstein, and she'll be entering the seat after Deputy County Executive White leaves hers, so that we can give everyone an opportunity to hear from all the issues that are going on. We're also joined by representatives from the Emergency Services Department, as well as the Sheriff's Office, and if we need to have additional comments from them, we will ask them to come up. We, as usual, have a PowerPoint presentation, and the PowerPoint presentation is based on the latest information that we have. The situation has continually, rapidly evolved. It is changing by the minute. As you know, we originally had scheduled a press conference for 2 o'clock today. It actually seems like that was 3 days ago because there's so much that's happened in the meantime. We didn't feel comfortable at that time holding a press conference, basically because a lot of the information that we're going to be able to reveal to you now, including important information regarding the whereabouts and travel of individuals who are positive for COVID-19, we would not have been able to provide you earlier in the day. But now that the epidemiologists have finished their review of individuals who were determined to be positive yesterday, we now have the ability to announce that information. So we delayed it from earlier, but that was because it was in the best interest of the community to have accurate information, and basically we didn't have a whole lot of information at that point. Already talked about, and we know the protocol we follow in this, but I'd like to turn it over to our Deputy County Executive to talk about our child care task force. And so I'm going to hand her the mouse for the PowerPoint presentation, and there's the slide deck there. But Deputy County Executive Maria White, who's been very actively involved in preparing a child care task force.
Terrific. Thank you so much, County Executive, and thank you for your strong leadership during this time. Today, Social Service Commissioner and Marie Cannon and I convened a meeting via conference call on an emergency child care task force. We were so pleased to be joined by some stellar organizations that have stepped up to provide leadership very quickly in this time. The State Office of Child and Family Services, the YMCA, the YWCA, the Oshai Foundation, the Boys and Girls Club of Buffalo, the Jewish Community Center, the Family Help Center, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, the Child Care Resource Network, Kaleida, and Peace of Mind have all come together just in this very short time period to form this task force. On Monday, Governor Cuomo ordered every school district in the state to submit a plan to ensure children of healthcare workers and first responders have access to childcare so that the school closures do not strain the hospitals specifically. The governor's directive also called for plans to include a strategy for distance learning and meal distribution for those children. Erie County is thus coordinating with some of those school districts to help with that effort, and the plans are due to the governor's office and state education department tomorrow at 5 o'clock. The governor also issued an executive order suspending several child care regulations, which allows the Office of Children and Family Services to issue waivers around ratio and capacity for child care centers. If facilities advance a plan of action to OCFS, they have broad authority to issue waivers. The YMCA is now using their facilities exclusively for daycare and contracting with several school districts to provide those services. The Y has already contracted or is in the process of contracting with over 10 different school districts across the county to provide daycare, in most cases free of charge, for students aged 5 to 12 from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Healthcare workers and first responders are simply asked to provide proof of their job, which is either their badge or a letter from their supervisor, to access that service. Erie County is reaching out to local universities and colleges coordinate use of their on-campus child care centers, including Buffalo State College, UB, and all three Erie County community campuses. And we are coordinating with the HR directors and personnel departments of health care providers, municipalities, and unions to help assess the level of need for child care for first responders and health care workers in our community. The county executive has asked that we move quickly on our next steps, and we are already proceeding with assessing the need through the HR departments. That is our most immediate next step. We have also begun to assess the space available, especially since we are practicing social distancing and we need to have more spaces so that fewer children are congregated together. We are creating a list of daycare centers, both public and private, that are available and what capacity they have. And we are using the Child Care Resource Network to communicate existing plans to the public. We are also working with OCFS on the waiver requests they said they would entertain. Our next conference call is on Friday, County Executive, and we will gladly provide ongoing updates. The most important thing that the public can do at this time is to not send your children to daycare if you are working from home and if you are not a first responder. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deputy County Executive White. It is, I really appreciate all the work that you've done, along with Commissioner Marie Cannon and your teams, to put together in very short order this task force and to move along the daycare, child care needs for our first responders, our public health professionals, those that work in hospitals and so forth. It is a very daunting task, but they've actually accomplished a lot in a very short period of time. So thank you for doing it. And as the deputy county executive noted, the public can help by not sending your children to daycare if you are working from home. I know people get a little cabin fever and they might want a day away from their children, but we need to have the daycare, child care available for our first responders and others who have to go to work during this COVID-19 crisis. I also want to talk about another organization or help that's available. We're getting a lot of calls, including to our COVID-19 hotline, that really shouldn't go to the COVID-19 hotline. And 211 Western New York is available to answer a lot of your calls. It is a operational unit that is in effect 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It has updated resources with changes to local service hours and operations. It also can provide resources for individuals who are dealing with food insecurity, housing issues, unemployment assistance, and of course, it's very easy to contact. You can call in the 716 area code 211 or 888-696-9211, or you can text code, the zip code, to 89821, and 211 is available for you. So we're asking people to not call the COVID-19 hotline if you have questions that really should go to 211, especially if you're asking about other services that are provided outside of Erie County government, including the private sector, as well as those with other local governments. We cannot answer the question with regards to have there been changes of trash pickup days in a particular town. The COVID-19 hotline is really for those who have medical questions, and once again, not hypotheticals. We're joined by Karen and Kate here today from Deaf Access Services. I want to thank our friends from Deaf Access Services for the tremendous work they're doing, not only for Erie County government, but they're also doing it for the City of Buffalo, and I know Niagara County. We believe we are in need of additional ASL translators. So if you are a certified ASL translator and you're looking to volunteer, we could always use you during our presentations, including our Facebook Live presentations. So we're asking those who are willing to volunteer as an ASL translator to please contact our Erie County Office for People with Disabilities at 858-6215. Once again, that is 858-6215 if you're willing to volunteer your time to assist us in the presentations we have, whether it's a press conference or it's a Facebook Live presentation. We want to ensure that we can communicate with all the individuals in our community, including those who may have a hearing impairment, and we want people to know that it's very important that we continue to do that. And we only have a limited number of ASL translators that are used to doing this, but that we know there's a lot of others out there who can do it. So we're asking those who are willing to volunteer your time to please consider it. We have a number of vulnerable populations, and I'll talk a little bit about that, and then I'll turn it over to, of course, our doctor, Gail Burstein of the Department of Health, our health commissioner. The number one vulnerable population associated with COVID-19 are seniors. And so we want folks to understand that it is the seniors that are most at risk. That does not mean that anyone else couldn't get COVID-19. You can, and other individuals that are younger have in our community, but seniors are the ones that are most at risk for the worst type of problems associated with this. Homeless individuals are certainly a vulnerable population, and it's a population we are working on with our partners that help the homeless community address it as well. Individuals have blood disorders, chronic kidney disease, chronic liver disease, a compromised immune system, a current or recent pregnancy in the last 2 weeks, endocrine or metabolic disorders such as diabetes, heart disease, lung disease, including asthma or COPD, and those with neurological conditions are a vulnerable population. So you may be a healthy individual at 30 years old, but if you've had a pregnancy in the last 2 weeks or a current pregnancy, that you are in much more compromised than you would be otherwise. So we're asking individuals that are in that population sphere to take this very seriously and heed the advice of health professionals, starting with our health commissioner, Dr. Gail Burstein. And I've been chided by a few people, including my mother, who is a nurse, who said I should refer to Dr. Burstein as doctor, not doc, and that is true. So I would turn over the slide deck to her now. Dr. Burstein, and for those of you who keep on saying it, I just want to remind you, she's been our health commissioner for 8 years, including the members of the media. It is not Dr. Bernstein. If you ask our office to talk to Dr. Bernstein, we don't know who you're referring to. It's Dr. Gail Burstein. With that, Dr. Burstein.
Thank you. So I just want to go through the account of the updated test results that we've received from our Erie County Public Health Lab. So on Tuesday, March 17th, yesterday, we were informed that we had 13 new COVID-19 positive test results.
and that made a total of 20 total cases in Erie County. Today, on our first morning batch, we received one positive test result for a total of 21 positive test results in Erie County thus far. However, the Erie County Public Health Lab is going to be running a couple more batches today and this evening, so we do expect to receive more test results later today.
And if I can note, because I know it'll be asked, the new case is from the town of North Collins, and I spoke to Supervisor Tobia approximately an hour ago. Once again, this just goes to show that COVID-19 is everywhere in Erie County. Now, this is one of the most southernest parts of Erie County. It's in the urban areas, it's in the suburban areas, and it's in the rural areas.
Thanks. So as a result of our epidemiologists' in-depth case investigations, we have identified some areas where we feel the public should be aware these individuals may have been out and about in these areas or going on planes during the time where they could have been symptomatic. So chronologically, I'm going to read you that list that is available on this PowerPoint. So on March 10th, a person who was symptomatic flew on WestJet Airline Flight 4 from London to Toronto that arrived at 11:10 a.m. Later that day, on March 10th, there was a passenger who ended up being COVID-19 positive on United Flight 4233 from Chicago to Buffalo, arriving at 8:30 p.m. On March 11th, a potential exposure could have been at Well Now Urgent Care Center on Transit Road in East Amherst. On March 11th, between 3 and 7 p.m., there was a potential exposures on Larkin Center at 701 Seneca Street in Buffalo. And also on March 11th, midday, there was a person at the Robert H. Jackson United States Courthouse in Buffalo. On March 13th at 1 p.m. at Walmart in the Niagara Falls Boulevard in Amherst, New York, was another new potential exposure.
And I will note that these slides are available right now on my Twitter page at markpolingcars.com for any members of the media or otherwise who want to ensure they got accurate information.
Thanks. And then, I want to emphasize that these are individuals who are somewhere in this area around these times, these dates and times. So it doesn't mean that a person who was at that same place at that same time had definitely come in contact with that individual. We're just letting you know that a person who was symptomatic and may have been transmitting virus at that time was at that place, but it doesn't mean that every individual had a close contact or potentially exposed. And so we do not want people from the community to call our hotline at 858-2929 because they were at the same place at the same time. It does not mean that you have a definite exposure. And we'll explain what we're recommending for people to do who are at these locations at the same time and as these individuals who ended up having a positive test were located. So on to continue the list, on March 14th, between 3 and 3:30, the Wegmans in Blaisdell. On March 14th at 7:30 p.m., was the Bed Bath & Beyond in the McKinley Mall. On March 14th at 8:15 p.m., there was the Bye Bye Baby in Williamsville. On March 15th at 11:30 a.m., the Orange Theory Fitness at McKinley Mall. On March 15th at 1 p.m., the Walmart on Niagara Falls Boulevard in Amherst. On March 15th, midday, the CVS on Main Street in East Aurora. On March 16th at 3 p.m., the Target on Niagara Falls Boulevard in East Amherst. Again, these are places where there was somebody that was symptomatic and had ended up having a COVID-19 positive test was located. It doesn't mean that anybody who was in that area was definitely exposed. Remember, we need close contact to an individual, and many people, I'm sure, in these areas did not have any close contact to the person that was infected. So again, what we want people to do is stay at home if you can, but more importantly, we want people to monitor for symptoms. So we want people to check their temperatures with a thermometer or else assessing how they feel, if they feel febrile, at least twice daily. And also pay attention to your body. See if you have a cough or any shortness of breath. So those would be indications that you may have been infected from one of these, one of these areas, when a person who was positive was in these places at the same place in the same time. But it doesn't mean that you definitely were exposed, and it does not mean you were definitely infected. And if you have questions about your own individual health, I suggest that you call your healthcare provider with those questions. Again, it does not mean that you were definitely exposed or you were definitely infected. We just want that there is a risk. We can't say there's no risk. There is a risk, so we want people to monitor themselves for potential signs and symptoms of COVID-19.
Doctor, you said somebody was febrile. What does that mean for the average person
Thank
at
you.
Home?
So the medical jargon lingo. So if somebody had a fever, so a temperature of over 100.8. So low grade fever of 99 isn't anything that we're particularly concerned about, because there can be a lot of reasons for that. But anything over 100.8 is something that we'd be worried about. So that's again, that's why it's important for people to check their temperatures with a thermometer. Thank you. So the just want to talk about our public health lab testing. So far, 178 Erie County residents have been tested by a combination of the Erie County Public Health Lab, the Wadsworth Public Health Lab, and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's lab. So among those, there were 21 Erie County residents who tested positive, 157 residents who tested negative, and so far we have 378 tests that are pending that we have either already received the specimens, or else those individuals have already been scheduled by the Erie County Health Department to appear at one of our specimen collection locations at an exact exact date and exact time. And so we're expecting to receive those specimens. So if somebody had a conversation with their primary care provider and was told that they would try to organize testing from them, and they did not hear back from someone at the Erie County Health Department with instructions to appear at a certain location and an exact date and exact time, that means you are not scheduled for a test. And so far, we would not expect that you would have a test in the next couple days, because we have not contacted you. So, thanks. Because of our public health laboratory, testing capability is limited right now. We have a shortage of certain laboratory supplies. So we are not going to be able to test any additional individuals over and above what the individuals that we have already scheduled for testing. So again, if you are hoping to hear back from your healthcare provider or from the Erie County Health Department and have not heard back yet about a scheduled date and time for testing, we will not be able to test you in the near future. We have been working very closely with New York State and with all our commercial vendors to try to obtain more of the supplies that we need to conduct further testing. And so far we have not received any of these additional supplies to be able to do further testing. So that does not mean we will not do further testing in the future. We just right now don't have the supplies we need to conduct additional testing to above those what we have already scheduled. So let's talk about the people in isolation and quarantine. So as of this evening, there are 21 people in isolation. So that means that's either somebody, those means are the person who had a positive COVID-19 test. And then there are 241 people who are in quarantine. So that means those are individuals who we've identified have had a high risk exposure, either they've come in close contact with somebody with a positive COVID-19 test result, or they have been to a high risk area and have symptoms of COVID-19 and are going to be tested hopefully in the near future. So in the health department, we're really asking people to monitor themselves if they're concerned that they are at risk of COVID-19. So the individuals that we really want to prioritize and stress for monitoring are people who are family and close contacts to somebody who had a positive COVID-19 test. As the elderly and people with chronic conditions, because we know those individuals can become very, very ill if they do develop COVID-19. And also healthcare providers and people that work in medical facilities. You know, these are our backbone of our healthcare, and we really need those individuals to stay well and be able to work in the healthcare system. And we want to make sure that we don't have to remove them unnecessarily because of a potential risk of exposure. So we're being very thorough, working with our healthcare agencies to monitor those individuals for fever and also a cough or shortness of breath. So again, we're asking all Erie County residents to self-monitor. You know, as I read that list of places where individuals who were potentially contagious with COVID-19 had been in our community over the past couple days, both today and yesterday, you can tell that's a lot of different places where a lot of people go. And probably all of us had been to one of these locations in, you know, within the past week. So I think we have to assume that COVID-19 is everywhere in our community, and so we just have to take responsible actions to monitor ourselves and then reduce the risk of exposure of other people from smart social distancing or physical distancing. So with self-monitoring, we want people to, again, pay attention to their temperature, check your temperature twice daily, and then also, you know, check your body, making sure that you don't have a cough or shortness of breath. But I think that, you know, people have to assume that it's everywhere. And if when we do find out that there has been a location where somebody who is potentially contagious has been, you know, we will let viewers know through our media outlets. And so people will be aware. But again, the list that I'm reading is not, I'm sure, is not inclusive of all the places that people who have been, who've had a positive test for COVID-19. So I just want to, again, to let people know where they can get some great information. So again, we have our Erie County hotline to get information around COVID-19, and that is 858-2929. Again, it's 858-2929. And so we're receiving a very high volume of calls at this center. So I think people who call have to be on hold and have a wait. And also, this is to answer specific questions that people have about specific situations that they may encounter in their lives. And we really are not going to be able to accommodate hypothetical questions. And also, the wait time could be high at times because of the call volume. Again, we are deploying as many Erie County staff in general to work and man our hotline. And if you know, people don't want to wait to speak to somebody live, there are some great information on our website at www.erie.gov/COVID-19. Also, the New York State Health Department and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention all have COVID-19 websites that you can look at, and they all have great up-to-date factual information. Thanks.
Thanks, Dr. Burstein. Appreciate it. And of course, Dr. Burstein will be available for questions in a few minutes. We have, of course, a guidance for businesses. As you all know, all bars, restaurants, theaters, gyms, casinos are closed as of 8 p.m. On the 16th. Takeout food only. The Erie County Department of Health is inspecting with the Erie County Sheriff's Office to ensure that the restaurants are following the rules, the bars are following the rules. And we do ask people to utilize, or I should say patronize, your local restaurateur. We want to keep as much of our local economy going, including ensuring that these businesses can succeed when it's going to be a very, very difficult time for them. So please order food from takeout from or delivery. We've been doing that here. We've got a lot of food that we've been ordering from various restaurants for our staff, because you got a staff that's working hard. You got to feed them during lunch and dinner, and that's what we're doing. And we're asking everybody as best as possible to also utilize local restaurants. And then, of course, the governor once again clarified his order of last week. All places of businesses are ordered to operate at no greater than 50% occupancy, no greater than 50% seating capacity. If your workforce is 1,000, you got to find a way to get that workforce in your location down to 500. This does not require you to lay off your workforce. There's some discrepancy and questions about that. We were not trying to say that businesses had to reduce their workforce by 50% and lay people off, but they are required to reduce to the occupancy of 50%, as well as to ensure that their numbers are such that more people, if you can do it, are working at home rather than working in the office. Now, we know that's not eligible for all businesses, but those are the rules that have been set by Governor Cuomo. He also did a few other things today. Before I go into that, I just want to remind everybody that those rules and the ones I'm going to talk about do not apply to hospitals, healthcare providers, mass transit, law enforcement, nursing homes, and retail establishments, including grocery stores. So that 50% threshold does not apply to those entities. If you do not and are not included in that description of exempted organizations, you have to reduce. I've had questions with regards to the beauty industry, tattoo parlors, things like that. You have to reduce. So we want people, there's no exemptions other than hospitals, healthcare providers, mass transit, law enforcement, nursing home, retail establishments, including grocery stores. Also, effective as of 8 o'clock tomorrow, the governor has ordered that all malls are to close, though if you have a freestanding store attached to a mall and have an exterior entrance, you can be open. So if you are at, let's say, the Galleria Mall, there's a Dick's there, there's a Macy's, there's a Lord & Taylor with a freestanding entrance, you can stay open. Every other location inside the mall must close. All entrances to the malls must be closed, and that's effective as of 8 o'clock tomorrow night. So a lot of people were worried about the malls. We were worried about the malls. I talked to the governor's office about it, said we need to do something to ensure. The governor, as he noted in his press conference earlier today, it's better to do it blanket-wide across New York State than to have these do it by county. So that's what the governor did, is he implemented that rule earlier today to ensure that we are treated the same in Erie County as we are in Chautauqua County and Niagara County. So for those that operate malls, you have to shut down.
Mark Poland,
8 o'clock tomorrow night.
On WBEN.
Freestanding stores can continue operating as long as they have an entrance that is exterior to the premises, is not just an entrance that you have to come in through the mall. Of course, there is once again, these are the exemptions, so those have an opportunity to see the exemptions that exist. It would be silly to shut down or go at half capacity for hospitals and nursing homes and healthcare providers. But we are at 50% capacity, and we're doing our best to ensure that we're getting there with the appropriate level of staff in the departments that need it and other ones that are basically being shut down. But all other businesses except the exempt organizations must do the same. So once again, it doesn't matter if you're General Motors, the Ford Stamping Plant, GEICO, or the mom and pop nail salons, beauty salons, you all have to go to the 50% percentage. Guidance on events and gatherings. Of course, large gatherings events are ordered to be canceled or postponed if over 50 people are to be present. That's in effect until further notice. I had someone reach out to me today regarding slow roll, saying, wouldn't it be great to have slow roll? And our answer is no, that is got to be canceled. I've talked about how it's good for people to get out and try to get outside with your family, ride a bike. That's good. We can't have slow roll with 1,000 people, mass gathering, riding around the city of Buffalo. While I know you'd like to do that, get out on your own bike and do it, but we can't have a mass gathering like that. That's exactly how you're going to share COVID-19, is with a mass gathering like that. Of course, we still have a very big concern with regards to blood donations. We are currently at less than a 5-day supply of blood. If you are healthy and eligible, please consider donating. Connect Life, as well as the Red Cross, are two major blood providers, blood banks. You need, if you've done it in the past, we ask that you do it again. We've had a question about this. This is a respiratory illness, COVID-19. It does not appear that it could be transferred through blood. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So if you're worried that I might have it, but I don't want to do it, I'm not certain if I have it, if you're feeling good, but you're worried, you normally would give blood. We're asking you to go out and give blood. COVID-19, as best as all medical profession can determine, cannot be transferred through blood. It's a respiratory illness that would basically be transferred from sneezing or coughing on someone. So please get out there if you're a blood donor, donate blood. We don't want to be put in a situation where we have a lack of supply. Mental health resources, we know there's a lot of people that are getting a little cabin fever and are very concerned about what's going on in the world. There are resources that are available. Crisis Service Hotline is 716-834-3131. If you're feeling stressed, you just want to talk to someone, you're at your wit's end, we want people to call Crisis Services. And also, I released this earlier on Twitter. We have seen an uptick in the last 2 weeks with regards to overdoses. And in many of these situations, the overdoses are not just directly fentanyl or heroin overdoses. They are those with individuals who are intaking cocaine. So we know we often hear about individuals that talk about recreational drugs, and they think there's no harm in cocaine. Well, you can die from an overdose of cocaine. But what we're seeing is an increase in cocaine that's laced with fentanyl, which has two very bad things. Number one, it's more addictive, because you're getting addicted to the fentanyl, the opiate-based thing, so you're going to want to do more of it. And number two, your body's not used to that if all you've ever done before is cocaine, and we're seeing overdoses and deaths. So we want people to understand this is not a way to relieve your stress, is by going to cocaine. I'd rather not be talking about this, but I have to talk about it, because we have seen overdoses, including deaths recently, associated with what we can determine people thought they were just doing cocaine. I talked to Cheryl Moore, the head of our opiate task force. She confirmed it. So we want people to understand our addiction hotline is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at 831-7007. Once again, if you've got mental health issues and you're stressed, call 834-3131. If you want to talk to a trained professional about addiction issues, drug use issues, you should call our 24/7 hotline at 831-7007. Once again, we have important resources. The doctor talked about this, the COVID-19 hotline, 858-2929. We have various websites that are available, the county's website, the state's website, the CDC website. Please trust these websites. This is accurate information that's coming out from health professionals. As I said, just because you saw it on social media, you saw it on Facebook, you saw it on Twitter, you saw it on Instagram, doesn't make it so just because your friend posted it. Trust the resources from our health professionals, not something you saw from your Aunt Ginny who said, hey, I saw this, it must be true. It's not necessarily true. Trust the health professionals, and when we get accurate information, we will let you know in the public. Of course, we have an English language page for COVID-19, and we also have a Spanish language page, and we want people to understand if they're Spanish speakers, we can provide that to you as well. We have emergency support functions. Our Commissioner of Emergency Services, Homeland Security, Dan Neverth, is here. On the screen are a lot of these emergency support functions, and pretty much all of them have been activated in one form or another. We have individuals here. The primary response to this matter is being run out of the Rath building. We've seen a number of calls from individuals to close the Rath building. We also have operations at our Emergency Operations Center, but and the Sheriff's Office and some other off-site locations, including our public health campus. Because of the scope and severity of this, which we will believe will grow, we are running it out of the Rath building. So for those who are saying, why is the Rath building open, including representatives of a local union, I'm very disappointed that one of the representatives of a local union was out there saying we need to close the Rath building. Well, if we close the Rath building, we're shutting down the Department of Health headquarters. And they have their location is here. The information that they need is here. We literally have to shut down our response to COVID-19 for a couple days till we could move everything out of the Rath building to another location. So those that are out there saying you must close the Rath building, including a representative of one of the local unions, and you know who you are, because you've been constantly posting it, you would actually put the public's health at risk if we did that. So I'm just putting that out there so the public understands why the Rath building is open. We have limited business, of course. There is business that is open. Individuals who are still applying for social services in person, you can do it online. Not everyone has the ability. So we have to have some availability for individuals to apply for social services. I have heard from our Commissioner of Social Service, as well as others, we have seen a dramatic increase in individuals who are seeking public assistance now that they may be out of a job. So our services are still here. There's very limited services that are available and open to the public in the Rath building, other than primarily the Department of Social Services and the clerk's office. The clerk, Mickey Kearns, advised me that they will be shutting down their Department of Motor Vehicle locations, I believe effective Friday, though I don't have it written down, and I want you to go to the clerk's office website to confirm the actual time in which they'll be shutting down some of their DMVs. But as of right now, the Rath building is open and will be open. Now at this time, I'd just like to say before we open up to questions and answers, there's a lot of questions out there from the public. We do offer the phone number to answer those that are directly related to COVID-19. If you have questions that are related to services that are provided in the general community, services that may be available to you, we ask that you call 211. We are all in this together. We have all of these partners that are coming in, whether it's our child care resources, our resources from the health community, the law enforcement community. We know people are getting scared. The thought of potentially having to deal with this for many weeks is very, very concerning. The governor announced yesterday that it is believed that the peak would not hit until 45 days from yesterday. So we're talking about a month and a half. As I said a few days ago, we've entered uncharted waters. We are just entering the beginning of the storm. We're going to see increases in the number of positive tests we have with COVID-19 as long as we have testing materials. We have testing materials to probably get us through tomorrow. If you have not already scheduled a test, we will only schedule tests once we have testing materials. Testing materials were not available to Erie County until basically 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago. And as such, it's not like we could produce these testing materials. As we know, no one was talking about COVID-19 a year ago. It was just a few months ago that they started talking about it in China. And we are at the mercy of the federal government and the resources that we've been able to get from the CDC, and now, thankfully, been able to get from Governor Cuomo and his team. I want to thank Governor Cuomo and his team for the tremendous work they're doing. They're working 18 to 20-hour days. Our folks are working 18, 20-hour days. I think they're doing an exemplary job of leading our state through the storm. We will do all that we can to lead our community through the storm. But for those who are wondering, are we there at the end yet? We're not even at the end of the beginning. We are just entering the storm. There's going to be a lot that we're going to have to deal with. I ask for everyone's patience. Get out there if you can. Walk around. Take your dog for a walk. Go out there with your family. Patronize our local restaurants and bars with takeout. You can do takeout in bars, and I think probably people in Buffalo are very happy about that. Do not hoard goods. I was out earlier today, stopped off at a local pharmacy that also has groceries, and I was very pleased to see that they were fully stocked and the goods were not hoarded. The supply chain for our grocery stores, our pharmacies, has not been compromised. They are getting supplies. You do not need to buy 4 months worth of this. Supplies will be available. You can still go to the store. There are no driving bans. We want people to understand we're trying to reduce the interaction so we're not spreading it quickly. But there is community spread in with the cases that we've seen. And we want people to understand that it, as I noted, there are a number of communities that have COVID-19. And just I'm going to just relay that once again by the number of cases. And it is all over Erie County. There are 7 cases in Amherst. There is 1 case in the town of Aurora, which also includes the village of East Aurora. There are 4 cases in Buffalo. There are 2 cases in Clarence. There is 1 case in Elma. 1 case in Grand Island, 2 cases in Hamburg, which one of them is in the village of Blaisdell, 1 case in Holland, the new case that we have in North Collins, and 1 case in Orchard Park, in the town of Amherst. A number of those cases are in the village of Williamsville, but not all of them. It is already in our community. We know it's being spread in our community. I fully expect when we get new test results either tonight or tomorrow that we will have more positive results. And I just want people to understand, if we stay all together, if we understand we're all in this together, we will get through this as best as we can as a community. We're working very hard to protect the public. We're working very hard to anticipate the issues we're going to deal in the future, including the need for additional hospital beds and ICU beds. I've been in conference calls with leaders of our hospital units, with partners in our community who've offered their location for potential makeshift hospitals that we would be building as quickly as possible. So we're putting everything in place that we think could be the worst case scenario. I'm hoping because of the actions we take, we do not get a worst case scenario. We get a best case scenario. But we know that COVID-19 is here, and we are going to have to deal with it for the foreseeable future. With that, I'll open it up to questions from the news media.
Mark Poland, Cars News Conference.
We have an update. The Walmart, which Walmart is this? I thought there were 2 Walmarts.
The Boulevard.
Oh, the Boulevard Mall Walmart is actually on Niagara Falls Boulevard, technically in North Tonawanda. So the Walmart that is listed as Niagara Falls Boulevard in Amherst, where there was a public exposure on March 13th at 1 p.m., is a Walmart that is actually not in Erie County in Amherst. It is a Walmart I'm looking because there's 2 Walmarts on Niagara Falls Boulevard. Were they both at the one in North Tonawanda? North Tonawanda, not Amherst. So as you can see, these things can sometimes change on the fly. We'll open it up for questions. We'll do ask every news media operation to ask one question. We'll
Joe Beamer is coming up after 7 o'clock to take your phone calls on WBEN. This is the County Executive's News Conference.
To ask your question, I just ask that you identify who you are so the listeners elsewhere know who is asking the question. First question goes to WKBW TV Channel 7.
Sure, Nikki Dementry from Channel 7. First question, I know you talked about testing and we talked extensively about testing, but Dr. Bernstein, you said testing materials could come in the near future. What does this timeline look like? Do we have a clear timeline? Is
this how soon will the new testing materials be delivered to Erie County?
So we do not have a timeline for when we will receive the supplies that we need. There is a national shortage of viral swab collection kits. There's a national shortage of the reagents that you need to use to run the tests. So we're in competition with many other labs across the country for these supplies. We are trying our best through all the channels that we have available to us to be able to obtain those supplies. And we're hoping that we will be able to test again in the near future. There are tests available through Quest Laboratory and LabCorp Laboratory and some, maybe some other commercial laboratories. So just because we cannot collect this, we cannot run the test, there are still options to get tested through commercial laboratories, and also the New York State Health Department's Wadsworth Laboratory is still running tests. So again, it's not as convenient for Erie County residents, but you can, if people who want to get tested, they can talk to their healthcare provider and to see if that those tests can be arranged by another laboratory.
Thank you, Doctor. The next question is to WGRZ TV Channel 2. Is anybody on from Channel 2? If not, we will go to WIVB TV Channel 4.
Yes, thank you. Back to the testing supply shortage. Is it safe to say that at this point you're only testing extreme cases and that you would be able to test even more tomorrow than you will be testing tomorrow because of that shortage?
We have tests that we, with specimens that we have in our public health laboratory right now that we plan to test over the next couple days. And we do have some individuals scheduled tomorrow to have some specimens collected that will be tested. And then beyond that, we'll have to decide on a case-by-case basis if we will be able to test any specimens. Again, there are other venues for these tests to be run by commercial laboratories and by the Wadsworth New York State Department of Health Public Health Lab. And when we do receive those additional testing supplies, we'll reassess and make tests available in the community as we are able.
Thank you. Next question to Spectrum News Buffalo. Is anybody on from Spectrum News? If not, we will go to WBEN AM Radio.
Hi, Mark. Mike Baggerman here. Yesterday, you said it was 225 pending results, and obviously, were all of the 225 pending results yesterday found?
The question was, there were 225 pending results as of yesterday. I believe many of those have not been fully tested yet.
Right. So there was a small run conducted overnight, and there are additional runs being conducted this afternoon and this evening, and then we will do more runs tomorrow. We have enough reagents to get through all the specimens that we have collected and are scheduled to collect. We have a limited capability of the number of specimens that can be tested during each day, and so we have a little bit of a backlog. We will get through them, and people who have specimens collected will receive their test results.
Thank you. Next question to WBFO FM Radio.
Now, Mike Desmond at WBFO. How can you possibly, from a public health point of view, figure out how bad the situation is if you can't tell?
Question was, how can you figure out from a public health point of view how bad the situation is if you can't test?
We are still continuing to test. Again, we have hundreds of specimens in our public health lab, and even more that we are going to be testing. And similar to what we do with influenza and other reportable diseases, we will look at trends. We'll look at other trends across New York State and across the United States, and look collectively at those numbers that are positive, and really gauge the number of potential cases in our area based on what we're seeing statewide and nationally. I mean, we know that we are going to go up, and we're not really sure where we're going to meet our peak. And there is still being testing done by our commercial health labs and by our Wadsworth Public Health Lab in Albany. So it's not that testing will completely come to a stop. There is going to be some testing done in our area by other labs, and we're hoping to resume testing. And there is testing done by New York State and in the rest of the United States. So we are getting data from test results in our area and other parts of New York State and the rest of the United States. So it's not a test-free zone. We're just not going to be able to do as many tests from our area as we had in the past.
And I will note that 378 pending are not just Erie County. They are also including other communities. And so we are doing our best to get through that based on requests from the New York State Department of Health to test. But it was, as noted, 378 pending from received and planned specimen collection from Erie and outside counties. We are hoping to get through that as quickly as possible, but we do have limitations on the other tests that we can do in the future just because of the issues that we have with the materials for testing.
And this is really, it's a national shortage. So, I mean, there are labs all across New York State and all across the country that are experiencing these same shortages. And we're competing with these other labs. So we are not the only lab in New York State or the United States that is experiencing testing limitations because of supply shortages.
We have multiple, I think, from the Buffalo News. We have the city desk. Is anyone available from the city desk? If not, Sandy Tan from the Buffalo News.
Yes, hi. I'm here. I have several questions, but before that, just want to say, as a print media person, I cannot see you and hear you synchronized in live time, but I can hear you at least. So can you be a little more explicit regarding how many cases you have pending and how many cases you are currently testing and how many cases you think you will be able to complete before you run out tomorrow? And I'm also interested to know whether you've been in communication with Roswell Park, Kaleida, ECMC, regarding their ability to come online sometime really soon to help out.
I'll finish the second part. Yes, we have been in touch with those. I've been in touch with Tom Krachocci from ECMC, Candace Johnson from Roswell Park. They are kind of in the same pickle we are. They are just getting approved by the state, but they do not have any of the materials that are necessary, the reagents and such, to perform the task. So, I've talked to my colleagues across New York State and some of them across the country, and I think we're actually in some ways a better position than some of the areas across the country due to the fact that we've been able to do more tests than they have, partially because we've been able to get them originally from the CDC, but then also from New York State. But when it comes to our partner agencies, they're not able to do any testing because, number one, they may not have officially been approved by New York State yet. And even if they've been approved, they don't have the materials to do it. I'll let the doc do the second portion.
Sure. The last that I spoke with my public health lab, we do have enough reagent to cover all the testing that to cover the specimens that we have available in our public health lab now, and to cover the specimens that we are expecting to receive. So we think that's probably about 550 or 600 specimens. Again, we have specimens that we receive from the New York State Department of Health, from the Western New York area. So, it's not just Erie County. So as an Erie County Health Commissioner, I'm not aware of all the tests, the specimens that the public health lab has discussed with the other local health departments in New York State that they expect to receive. But I can assure you that we do have enough reagent to run the tests for all the specimens that have been collected so far. And from all the residents that have been told that they will have specimens collected tomorrow. So we will go through, and if you have been told by somebody at the health department that you are scheduled to have a specimen collection, then we can assure that you will get tested. For those individuals who have not heard back yet and they're waiting to hear back from their healthcare provider, that means that you do not have any testing scheduled and you will have to talk to your healthcare provider about some alternative options for getting tested. But again, regardless, we know that there is COVID-19 here in this community. We know that there is community transmission, and we know what we need to do to prevent the spread of infection. So remember, it still stands that we have to implement these non-pharmaceutical interventions. And so it's important to wash our hands as much as we can with running water and soap. It's important that we practice good respiratory etiquette. Either sneeze into a tissue or sneeze into your arm and cover your mouth and your nose and then wash your hands. It's important that if you're sick, stay away from other people, or if your children are sick, stay away from, make sure your children stay away from other people, especially the elderly. So, you know, they'll have to forego seeing their grandparents. You really want to stay away from the elderly for people that are sick or people with other chronic conditions. Also, if there's you see somebody out who's sick or even someone in your house is sick, you know, stay away from them so they, you know, they can remain in their own separate area in the house or in their own room. But really, we have to practice good physical distancing, so staying away from other people. And that's regardless if you have a test or you don't have a test. Those are still, you know, important basic tenets that we have to practice, as well as keeping these surfaces that are especially frequently touched clean.
And next question to Business First. Is there anybody on from Business First? If not, next question to Western New York Media. No one's on from Western New York Media. We'll go back to the top to Channel 7, WKBW. Are you still on?
Sure, yes. So, quick question, going back to the RAS building for a second. You know, a county employee spoke with us and said that two county employees are under quarantine after exposure to virus on the road. Is this true? Are there any Erie County employees that are in quarantine right now? Have any county employees been tested for COVID-19?
You know, as a Erie County Health Commissioner, I cannot really discuss any specific cases. I can just tell you in general what we're seeing so that people have the information they need to stay healthy. But I really cannot discuss any individual cases.
I am not aware of any case of an individual who may be in quarantine. There's a lot of rumors that go around that are often false rumors. You've seen some of them that I've talked about in the past. But we are not allowed to talk about a particular individual, but I am not aware of any county employee that is in quarantine. There are potentially hundreds of people in quarantine right now across Erie County. We know that there are people that have unfortunately tested positive that have been in contact with others. Generally, it is the family members that are in immediate quarantine, but I am not aware of any individual that is in immediate quarantine, quarantine of any kind, that's an Erie County employee. Has Channel 2 returned or not? If not, we'll go to Channel 4. I think George is.
I'm all set.
Okay. Spectrum?
Hey there. So we just had a question. Is it true that a drive-through testing site at Twin District Fire Hall on William Street in Lancaster has been set up?
Yes, there was a specimen collection clinic, a drive-through clinic at that site.
That is not open to general public, though. You had to actually have been approved by your doctor in the Department of Health. You were assigned a time, but that is being shut down because we don't have the ability to test anymore.
And also, you know, we have had people come in and you know, claim that they have been authorized. You know, we do have a current list. And so if people are not on that list, we will not be able to collect a specimen from them.
And it is being guarded by the sheriff's office. There are sheriff's deputies on site. Individuals have, as the doctor, see, it's tough to get rid of 8 years of saying doc. The doctor has noted, we've had individuals who've shown up saying, I have authorization, but they don't. We know who's authorized. But that site has been closed or is about to be closed due to the lack of having testing materials. Mike Baggerman, are you still there from WBEN?
Yes, Mark, just one more question for me. We had a chance to speak with a coronavirus patient from the area yesterday, and I know a lot of other television stations have also been talking with them as well. Some of the common things they've been saying is that they're finding it difficult to get a constant streamline of communication between themselves and the County Department of Health. What can you guys do to assure them that their needs are being met, especially considering they are a confirmed case?
Well, so these individuals under isolation and quarantine are, the health department is working to reach out to them on a scheduled basis, a routine basis. And, you know, I know that it is so stressful being isolated from the community and having to be in quarantine for 14 days. And I understand that these individuals may you know, want to reach out and talk to people. And I think our county executive posted some great resources for individuals, first at crisis services. So if people are getting very stressed and anxious for being in quarantine, they should reach out to crisis services. You know, also there is great information around mental health providers available at calling 211. And I know that our local mental health providers and our substance use providers are really being able to switch to offering telehealth services so that individuals who may be in isolation or quarantine, or individuals that would prefer, you know, not to go out and sit in a waiting room, would be able to access services from their mental health providers and even some healthcare providers through telehealth services. I know that the state is opening up access for that, and the regulations have changed to be more permissive for providers to do that. So people do have options to reach out, not only to the health department, because we really have a limited ability to really reach out and have good counseling sessions and good support sessions, so that we have these other opportunities in our community, like crisis services and calling 211 for other suggestions.
And I would note that the individuals who are tested positive, we do have a standard protocol of contact. And if they are dealing with different health issues, such as their health condition change, they should immediately call their doctor, who will then contact us to determine what is appropriate for that individual, whether they should be moved to hospital or not. The next question is to WBFO. Mike Desmond, are you still there?